these goals. A journey into a world that is just beyond our comprehension. The world of the paranormal.
Welcome to the 13 Skulls. Today we're going to be taking a look at the Anguished Man painting. A strange object was seen hovering over Sydney, Australia. PSYOPs teams are being accused of targeting U.S. senators. A photo of a fairy and a beast. The music behind the moon. And a man claims to be from 33 A.D. So stay tuned for that and much more in this 54th episode of the 13 Skulls.
I wanna be alone right now, I wanna be so far away. I want my feet back on the ground, I wanna breathe again, but I fall. 7 floors down, I don't belong here, I don't belong. Dim the gleam, love a street lamp, I am pushed away. And I fall, concrete. Drawing me closer to the end, the final line. Oblivion's in the air, in the grave. Love a broken street lamp, and pushed away.
I hear the sirens sing, and I'm pushed away from every little thing in this life. I'm walking away from. I'll be free, I'll shapeshift, I'll change. There's more to this than just a blunt chess game and a pair of dice. Where they land, they decide fate, and the fate is the machine that just rolls on and on, mulling everything in its way till there's nothing left to distinguish between future and past. And the past is now, and I'm so far away,
and I fall 7 floors down. Don't belong here, don't belong. And I fall, concrete, drawing me closer to the end, the final round. Oblivion's in the air, in the grave. I'm a broken street lamp, I am pushed away.
Welcome back, everybody. We're going to be doing things a little bit differently from here on out. We did this in the last premium episode. We're going to be doing the formalities at the end of the show. That way, we don't have to wait. We can jump right into it and not have to spend any more time doing all the BS that people don't want to hear. So let's go ahead and move right into it. I just wanted to give a little bit of a heads up on a few places that I like personally. Jeremy's News and Reviews, if you like anything about comics, movies, anything to do with entertainment whatsoever, go to jeremyba.com. And he's just got a lot of really good stuff on there. Jeremy's a friend of mine, so I'm not promoting him just for that. I mean, I'm promoting him because he's a friend of mine, but I'm promoting him because he's got a lot of really good stuff that he reports on that's coming out in the world of entertainment. So go to jeremyba.com. If you like beef jerky, Jeremy found a place for me that I really, really like. And thank you again, Jeremy. It's called Fat Man's Beef Jerky, and it's just really, really good beef jerky. And the guy's really quick with getting it to you. It's really flavorful. It's kind of thin beef jerky, so it's not real thick and hard to chew through. It's just really good stuff. So you can go get that at fatmansbeefjerky.com. And I'm going to be playing a promo for a new audio drama that I heard from Scott Sigler called The Leviathan Chronicles. I've only listened to about 9 episodes of it so far. I've got most of it downloaded. I'm still working my way through it all. But so far, it's just a really, really good story. And I wanted to give a thank you to Scott Sigler just for that. I don't think he's listening, but I wanted to give credit where credit is due. I heard it from him in his feed. He had it in the end of the first audio episode of The Starter that he's put out. So just wanted to give you guys a heads up on that. So let's go ahead and move on to the first thing that I wanted to take a look at, which is courtesy of naturalplane.blogspot.com. Lon out there at Phantoms and Monsters, which is naturalplane.blogspot.com, received an email from a United Kingdom listener that has a very odd painting. It's called The Anguished Man. The guy says his grandmother had the painting in her attic for 25 years, and she said it was evil. She told us that she used to see the dark figure of a man around the house, and at night she heard crying and strange noises. She told me the artist committed suicide shortly after finishing it, and that he used his own blood mixed in with the oils. After she died, we got the painting, and it's currently in our basement. Shortly after we got the painting, various members of the family started seeing the dark figure of a man. At night, we began hearing noises, and just recently we've heard crying and moaning. The painting is still in our house, and although I never believed in the supernatural, I'm now convinced there is something evil about this painting. And he's currently waiting for a full paranormal investigation to be carried out. It's a really, really creepy painting. I want you guys to go take a look at it. He goes on to say, the noises have been getting worse ever since they moved the painting. We've heard crying coming from the corner of our bedroom. We started seeing the dark figure standing at the end of the bed, just apparently staring at us. It seems to be a middle-aged man, but his features are not very clear. As a former skeptic, I'm very curious, so I'm moving the painting to our bedroom. Previously, it's been in the cupboards downstairs. He says he's feeling a little bit scared and just a little bit apprehensive. He goes on to say that after they moved the painting to their bedroom, things seemed to have settled down, so he moved the painting again, and now it started up with a vengeance. The noises are getting much worse, and he's finding it difficult to get any sleep. I have no explanation for what's happening, but I'm convinced it's all related to the painting. He says he's going to set up a camera, and he did, and he caught some rather odd stuff. He said he was recently looking at some photographs that were taken when he was transporting the painting in his car when he noticed something strange. Both of his sons were messing about in the back seat, but one of them took a picture of his younger brother. He wants to know if it's a trick of the light or could it be some spiritual inhabitant of the painting. And what you'll see in the video of the picture that shows the boy, you know, making a funny face at the camera, behind him in the reflection, there is this weird red line, almost like a laser line, going across the window. And up in the corner above that, you'll see what appears to be a human face. Now, is it just a reflection of something in the car that just so happens to have that pareidolia effect where you see a human face when there's really not one there? Well, anyway, the guy goes on to say he moved the painting back to the top bedroom. He set up the video camera and recorded for approximately 8 hours over 3 consecutive nights. After spending several hours looking at the footage, he found some rather odd stuff. There are many sounds recorded, but they sounded like they came from outside, and these were a little bit different. Shortly after moving the painting, his wife felt someone stroke her hair in the bathroom, and he saw something strange like a fog or a mist at the top of the stairs that vanished as quickly as it came. That's all he wrote. In the video where he said he heard some noises, what you'll see is the video is set up looking directly at the painting. And now the painting looks like an anguished man. It looks like someone that's been burned over a large portion of their body, if not all of it. They don't seem to have any lips. They don't seem to have any eyes. And they look to be burned rather badly. There's no hair on the head. And it looks to be disfigured. It looks to be almost scarred all over its body. In this video, you'll see the painting is right there looking at you. It's pointed directly at it, and it looks like it's on a bed. It's in a red room, and you'll hear some weird scratching. Well, the camera angle changes, and you can see the painting in the same place that it was in the other video. And the camera's a little bit different. It's looking at the painting and looking at the room. You can see the door is opened. You can see the light coming from the hallway, so you don't see any shadows, but the door shuts. And you don't see, I mean, could it be that someone has some fishing line attached to the painting or attached to the door and pulling it shut? But apparently the guy says that this is all happening since he's moved the painting. Later on, you'll see the painting sitting there with the door. The door is open again, and you'll hear something fall over inside the room. Is there someone in the room? You can't really tell. Now, the first part of the video, whenever all you can see is the picture on the bed, it's really hard to tell whether or not someone's in there. If not, it's still creepy no matter what. I want you guys to go take a look at this and let me know what you think of the Anguished Man painting. All right, well, the next thing that I wanted to take a look at is courtesy of CBC.ca, and it's something that I personally just found interesting. Scientists are now estimating there's some 50 billion planets in the Milky Way alone. Scientists have estimated the first cosmic census of planets in our galaxy, and the numbers are astronomical. At least 50 billion planets call the Milky Way home. At least 500 million of those planets are in the not-too-hot, not-too-cold Goldilocks zone where life could exist. The numbers were extrapolated from the early results of NASA's planet-hunting Kepler telescope. William Borucki, who heads the project, says scientists took the number of planets they found in the first year of searching a small part of the night sky and then estimated how likely stars were to have planets. Kepler spots planets as they pass between the star they orbit and Earth. So far, Kepler has found 1,235 candidate planets, with 54 in the zone where life could possibly exist. Kepler's main mission is not to examine individual worlds, but to give astronomers a sense of how many planets, especially potentially habitable ones, there are likely to be in our galaxy. Borucki and his colleagues figured one of two stars has planets, and one of 200 stars has planets in the habitable zone. If Kepler were 1,000 light-years from Earth and looking at our Sun and noticed Venus passing by, there's only a 12% chance that Earth would be seen. And to get the estimate for the total number of planets, scientists then look at the frequency observed already and applied it to the number of stars in the Milky Way. For many years, scientists figured there were 100 billion stars in the Milky Way, but last year a Yale scientist figured the number was closer to 300 billion stars. Scientists estimate there are 100 billion galaxies in the universe. If you take 100 billion galaxies and then multiply that by 50 billion planets in each galaxy, that's a lot of potential for life in the universe. All right, well, let's go ahead and move on to the next thing that I personally thought was funny. Now, I grew up listening to country music, listening to some rock and roll. Billy Ray Cyrus was one of those people that was in the spotlight during the heyday of the time that I was listening to country music. And yes, I did listen to country music at one point in time. Given the music that's played in this show, you probably wouldn't know that. There's been some issues in Billy Ray Cyrus's and Miley Cyrus's life, and they've been separated from each other, I guess. I'm not too sure about it. I know a little bit about it, but what caught my eye is that Billy Ray Cyrus is saying that Satanism is what is to blame for his family's despair. When asked if he thinks his family is under attack by Satan, Billy Ray Cyrus says, "No doubt. There's no doubt about it." And there, driving to work each day in the City of Angels, was the sign. A physical sign that said, "Adopt a Highway, Atheist United." It could have easily said, "You will now be attacked by Satan. Entering this industry, you are now on the highway to darkness." If he only knew the extent of it and what would happen to his daughter, but it was just a little bit too late. I think it's funny. There's a little bit more there if you're into entertainment stuff whatsoever. I just thought it was funny that he's blaming Satan for his family's problems, and maybe you could, to some degree, blame Satan for the problems that are in your life if you believe that everything that's evil and wrong is done by Satan. At the same time, take responsibility for your own actions. It's not necessarily always Satan that is causing bad things to happen. If you make a bad decision, it's going to cause something bad to happen. So is it really Satan that's causing his family's problems? I don't know. Either way, I thought it was rather funny, but let's go ahead and move on to the next article, which is courtesy of pittsburgh.cbslocal.com. I really got a kick out of this whenever I saw this, because I always like the stupid criminal news. Well, a man apparently wrapped his face like a mummy and tried to rob a convenience store in Hermione. Now, I'm not really sure exactly where that is. I'm guessing it's got to be somewhere in Pennsylvania. State police in Greensburg are investigating an armed robbery that happened on Monday afternoon at the Exxon Buy and Fly Mart in the village of Hermione in Westmoreland County. A guy walked into the store about 3 p.m. armed with a hatchet. He wore a dark cloth wrapped around his face looking like a mummy. Now, no one was injured, but, you know, people thought it was somebody who was local to the area. It's such a small town that everybody knows everybody else's business, and if you're doing something wrong, someone's pretty much going to know about it. There's nothing more there other than the guy wore a red hooded sweatshirt and had this cloth wrapped around his face. Now, if you know anything about it, there's a number there that you can call that can report the guy, but I just thought it was really funny because how many times do you hear of people wrapping themselves like a mummy? I really think that maybe you should just gone and bought a ski mask. People and their stupid decisions are just hilarious sometimes, but let's go ahead and move on to the next article, which was rather odd. It's courtesy of MizzenChew.com. There have been some spiritual fires that have broken out in a residential area. I'm not really too sure where this is. It almost seems like it would be in Indonesia or the Philippines or something along those lines. A weird spiritual fire broke out in a residential house, and more than 10 people tried to put out the fire, quote-unquote fire, by the way of reciting the Quran verses. An incidence of spontaneous fires burning the clothes continued to take place for more than 20 times after that. The female owner of the house, Zainab Suleiman, said even though the incidence of spiritual fires had somewhat slowed down after the ulamas, which I'm not sure what ulamas are, I believe there might be some kind of a spiritual doctor of some kind. Anyway, they offered the prayers and they still came around four more times. The mysterious phenomenon appeared again during the daytime for more than 20 times, five of which occurring when the Sinchu Daily conducted the interview there. Mrs. Suleiman, who is the one who complained that the fires were happening, said that her family had run out of ideas of how to subdue the fires other than throwing away the burnt clothes. She said they're not going to have any clothes anymore and they're not sure what to do. The spiritual fires have burned the clothes, spoiled the food, turned on the gas cooker, and burned the new school uniforms of the two granddaughters. The incidents have lasted for 13 days now, and many, quote-unquote, supreme masters have been consulted, but to no avail. Ms. Suleiman could hardly understand why such strange phenomenon could take place in her house, but she's been staying in her house for 13 days, afraid that it might catch her house on fire. Now, I don't really understand why this is happening or even what it is. I've never really heard of spiritual fires before. I tried to look up more on it and couldn't really find a whole lot. There's a picture up in the top left corner of this article that shows the two granddaughters with their burnt clothes, but the clothes don't really look burnt. They look more just dirty than they do anything else. I wish they would have actually posted a little bit more on what was going on. I mean, there's a few pictures there that you can take a look at, but they don't really show you anything that would really lead you to believe that things are catching on fire or even catching on spiritual fire. And what is a spiritual fire? If anybody knows more about that, let me know. Like I said, I tried to look up more on it, but I couldn't really find a whole lot that really made any sense. So let's go ahead and move on to the next article, and that one is courtesy of LochNess.co.uk. It's a really cool webcam that you can go and take a look at of Loch Ness. It's on a hillside. You can see a building in the foreground that's down the hill a little ways, covered by some trees, but it refreshes every few seconds, and it's basically just a view of Loch Ness. You can't zoom in or anything along those lines, but it's interesting nonetheless, given the sightings of the Loch Ness monster. What part of Loch Ness this is, I'm not really too sure. I wish I could find out, but it doesn't say anything there. So go and take a look at it. I just thought it was really interesting. So let's go ahead and move on to the next thing that I want to take a look at, which is courtesy of CNN.com, and researchers are trying to print, quote-unquote, human skin. Researchers are developing a specialized skin printing system that could be used in the future to treat soldiers wounded on the battlefield. Scientists for the Wake Forest Institute for Regenerative Medicine were inspired by standard inkjet printers found in many home offices. We are starting out by taking a typical desktop inkjet cartridge. Instead of ink, we use cells, which are placed in the cartridge, said Dr. Anthony Atala, director of the institute. The device could be used to rebuild damaged or burned skin. The project is in preclinical phases and may take another 5 years of development before it's ready. Other universities, including Cornell University and the Medical University of South Carolina, Charleston, are working on similar projects and will speak on the topic on Sunday at the American Association for the Advancement of Science conference. I'm not really sure exactly what's going to happen there, but as soon as I find out, I'll let you know. Researchers developed the Skin Bioprinter by modifying a standard store-bought printer. One modification is the addition of a three-dimensional, quote-unquote, elevator that builds on damaged tissue with fresh layers of healthy skin. The skin printing process involves several steps. First, a small piece of skin is taken from the patient. The sample is about half the size of a postage stamp, and it is taken from the patient by using a chemical solution. Those cells are then separated and replicated on their own in a specialized environment that catalyzes this cell development. The printer is then placed over the wound at a distance so that it doesn't touch the burn victim. Once the new cells have been applied, they mature and form new skin. The device can fabricate healthy skin in anywhere from minutes to a few hours, depending on the size and type of the burn, according to the report. Researchers said it's difficult to speculate when the skin printer may be brought to the battlefield because of the stringent regulatory steps for a project of this nature. Maybe they could end up physically repairing you. I mean, would this get rid of skin grafts all the way around, where they take a piece of skin from a different part of the body and layer it over top of wherever the injury was? Let's go ahead and take a listen to a video that is a report of a UFO hovering over Sydney, Australia.
Now, there have been some strange goings on around Sydney, with several sightings of objects in the sky. Those who've witnessed these UFOs are sure we're being visited by aliens. And so far, there's no better explanation.
We've all heard the stories before, but rarely from so many independent witnesses.
It's just right there, in the between the two trees, that's go towards the Wollongong.
Whatever it was, Laszlo Novak managed to film it, or them, three large pulsating objects cruising silently in formation over Campbelltown. One came so close, Laszlo says he could see some structure.
That was like a donut shape, and underneath I saw them like orange lights, it was spinning around.
The lights returned three times over 7 hours. One witness, sure she was being observed.
It just sort of slowly came towards me, and then that's when I ran back onto the front porch because I was really terrified.
This time, all the usual explanations have been discounted. Civil and military radar reported no unusual blips. Even the chance of atmospheric conditions playing tricks ruled out by cloudy skies.
Now, what you're going to see in this video, it's just a news report, but there is a quick video of what the woman in the beginning said she filmed. It looks like three dots in the form of a triangle. It's at night, of course, as it always is. It's one of your typical triangle UFO sightings, which we're going to talk about later, too. There's another one that I wanted to take a look at that was some UK police officers found and took a picture of a flying triangle. Now, this one, like I said, you'll see three dots in a triangle formation. And they're not spinning around like the one man said, but maybe it's, you know, it was something a little bit different, or maybe it was closer than what the woman videotaped in the beginning. Maybe things changed, I don't know. I just thought it was interesting given the fact that you see so many triangle UFO sightings all over the world. All right, well, the next article that I wanted to take a look at is courtesy of AOLnews.com, and it's just something I thought was funny. About, I don't know how long ago, maybe a month or so, two ago, there was a company that released some zombie beef jerky, and the USDA now has a problem with it. It says that it's hard enough marketing snack foods to zombies without the U.S. Department of Agriculture being persnickety about the wording on the label. That's what Aaron Rasmussen of Harkos Laboratories, a Los Angeles-based maker of novelty products and food items, discovered last summer, I guess it was last summer, not last month, when the company decided to create zombie jerky. It says, last May, we heard about some blue-colored zombie jerky that was released in Japan, and since it wasn't available here, we thought we'd make it and use the color green, which is better for zombies. Rasmussen was sure that the path to getting the zombie jerky to its target market would be smooth, that he announced it before getting label approval from the USDA. And now, that's turning out to be a very bad idea. They were very good sports, though, through the whole process, especially when presented with a green beef jerky that was marketed as being parts of zombie flesh. But they also take their jobs very seriously. Seems there were a few sticking points with the label, specifically the terms like mutagen-free and calling the jerky the flavor teriyaki. The reviewer also suggested removing and modifying statements that the jerky meat came from naturally occurring zombies and that it doesn't turn you into a zombie. Rasmussen is quick to point out that the USDA official was not jerky by any means. There's a lot more there to this article, but the USDA officials declined to comment except on the background explained that when marketing for a product, the labeling needs to be truthful and not misleading. And you can go and buy the product for $4.99. It's really not all that, you know, hard to find. Go and just search for zombie jerky or go to Harcos Laboratories at harcoslabs.com and you'll be able to find it. So anyway, I just thought it was funny. Let's go ahead and move on to the next article, which is courtesy of foxnews.com. Apparently, a Hollywood Hills mansion that's haunted and cursed is for sale. It's an imposing mansion sitting high on a road of Hollywood Hills with incredible views of downtown LA. But it's sat vacant and unfinished for years. Some say it's haunted, cursed, an old Indian burial ground, or maybe even an alien landing site. Other rumors say a murder occurred there, and it was the site of satanic worship. Whatever the history may be, the home is empty, yet to be finished, and located at 2450 Solar Drive in Los Angeles. It is being marketed for $15.2 million. According to the New York Times, the home has become a magnet for riffraff. The Armenian Power Gang used the home as their clubhouse and tagged the home with graffiti. It became a teen hangout spot for weekend raves, and it also turns out to be a crack house and, yes, a place for satanic worship. They do have a guard in place now so nobody can do that stuff, but people are saying that it's haunted, and it's actually a really huge house, but I would think maybe if people aren't buying it, drop the price a little from $15.2 million down to something a little bit more reasonable. All right, well, let's go ahead and take a little bit of a break here, you guys. When we come back, we're going to be taking a look at a bizarre frictionless superfluid that's been spotted in space. An LSU scientist dies at 54 from an unknown illness. A photograph of a UFO was taken from Portugal to the UK. A space station to other worlds. A man kills a possessed family. And the music behind the moon. So you guys stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute.
Okay, everybody quiet, please. Do we have audio and video? Tape's rolling. Particle chamber lock.
Green light.
All right, commence initial sequence. John, how's the EM tolerance looking?
We are green for go.
Okay, preparing for countdown. Three, two, one.
Dampers off. Chamber is showing two bars.
Prepare the transmission signal.
Standing point should be achieved in three, two, one. Transmission signal is going green.
Oh shit. Copy. Stop the system. Shut it down. Shut it down.
What is it? What the hell's going on?
Jesus Christ, there's someone in the chamber.
What are you talking about? It's impossible.
Look, on the monitor, there's a girl in the chamber. For Christ's sake, shut it down.
Initiating emergency abort. Powering down. Pressure should be dropping in. No, wait. It's not responding.
Pressure's going through the roof.
Field, a serialized podcast novel written by I.G. Hume and read by the author. To listen to the story, visit theheavenfield.com.
Hi, I'm Charlie Silvestri.
And I'm Jason Mundock. WCHE will present a new one-hour music showcase.
In the first half, Up Close and Acoustic with Charlie Silvestri will feature music performance and interview radio.
In the second half, Around the Woodstove with Jason Mundock will feature conversations with artists about their music and the inspiration behind it.
We'll be including local, regional, and national touring acts.
Look for us on Saturdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on 1520 AM WCHE and WCHE1520.com.
Brought to you by Taylor's Music of Westchester.
Immortality, longevity, an endless lifespan. Watching civilizations rise and fall. What would you do to become immortal?
My name is McAllen Orsel. I'm a genetic scientist in New York. I'm caught in a secret war between two powerful groups of immortals. I've been told that I am a messiah to a group of people I barely know. I'm forced on a quest around the globe to fulfill a destiny I never chose. If only I can stay alive.
From Krzysztof Lipucka comes The Leviathan Chronicles, an audio adventure like you've never heard before.
What is Leviathan?
I'll tell you as much as I know.
We have been among you for almost a millennium.
What? Immortal?
They can't know about Leviathan.
Dive!
We're hitting crush depth.
Blow those charges.
No!
Get down!
Nothing this big has ever moved that fast underwater.
I have no tolerance for your lack of commitment.
Why have you brought me here?
You are here because we need your help. The man you met earlier was named Whit Roberts.
I believe her condition is the result of an attack.
He's a liar and an assassin.
You are going to tell me what I want to know.
She was never trained for this.
She was bred for it, Anton.
Well, she doesn't know that.
The only question is...
You'll need to find the key, McAllen.
How much damage are we going to do in the meantime?
To discover the Leviathan Chronicles and get the next dimension in podcasting, go to www.leviathanchronicles.com. Immortality or freedom? Which would you choose?
All right, welcome back, everybody. The next thing I wanted to take a look at is courtesy of universetoday.com. And NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory has discovered the first direct evidence for a superfluid, a bizarre friction-free state of matter at the core of a neutron star. The image that was released shows X-rays from Chandra and optical data from Hubble of Cassiopeia A, the remains of a massive star that exploded in a supernova. The evidence for superfluid has been found in the dense core of the star left behind, a so-called neutron star. Superfluids created in laboratories on Earth exhibit remarkable properties such as the ability to climb upwards and escape airtight containers. When they're made of charged particles, superfluids are also superconductors, and they allow electrical current to flow with no resistance. Such materials on Earth have widespread technological applications like producing the superconducting magnets used for magnetic resonance imaging, or MRI. Two independent research teams have used Chandra data to show that the interior of a neutron star contains superfluid and superconducting matter, a conclusion with important implications for understanding nuclear interactions in matter at the highest known densities. The teams published their research separately in the journals Monthly Notices of the Royal Astronomical Society Letters and Physical Review Letters. Cassiopeia A lies about 11,000 light-years away. Its star exploded about 330 years ago in Earth's time frame. Both teams showed that the rapid cooling in Cassiopeia A, or Cass A, is explained by the formation of a neutron superfluid in the core of the neutron star within about the last 100 years as seen from Earth. Cassiopeia A will allow researchers to test models of how the strong nuclear force, which binds subatomic particles, behaves in ultra-dense matter. These results are also important for understanding a range of behaviors in neutron stars, including glitches, neutron star precession and pulsation, magnetic outburst, and the evolution of neutron star magnetic fields. Exactly how they know it's there. I mean, I can see that they're doing X-ray observations of this stuff, and the picture of Cass A that you can see is really quite beautiful. I always found it interesting that science is so definitive with their results, but yet things are always changing with it too. I find astronomy to be very fascinating. Every day they find something new. They know about these superfluids and these superconductors, but to find it somewhere else in a natural state is just, it's really fascinating. Well, let's go ahead and move on to the next article, which is courtesy of inexplicada.blogspot.com, and apparently the chupacabra is striking again in Mexico. The carcasses were found in the vicinity of the train station and the PMEX facilities, scattered on the ground and betraying impressive puncture marks that do not correspond to any animal endemic to the region or passing through, according to Amalia Garcia. The four sheep had their blood extracted through a hole in their throats. According to local residents, this may constitute the reappearance of the chupacabras. At noon on Monday, February 21st, phone calls from citizens alerted the authorities to the presence of the lifeless animals. Authorities mentioned that none of the sheep had any blood left in their bodies, as it had been removed. The discovery of the sheep with holes in their throats caused curiosity seekers to reach to the conclusion that the legend of the chupacabras should be taken seriously once more. 12 years have gone by without any reports of the phantasm in the area since 1999. It's all it's got there. There's nothing more to it, but it does show a picture of the sheep with their necks slit. There's no blood right there by them, so either they were bled for their blood, obviously, and taken somewhere else and laid down, or the blood just never made it out of the animals. How does that happen, though? How does it come out of the animal and not end up on the ground? I would think you would at least spill some of it unless you moved it to a different area. Unless maybe you had it on the back of a truck and then threw it out in the back, or maybe in the back of a spaceship. Who knows? I don't know. I just found it to be really interesting, all of these apparent sightings of chupacabras, all these different accounts of chupacabras killing animals, and nobody's really ever seen it happen. I would love to have some photographic evidence of this, but or maybe even some video of this. Let's go ahead and move on to the next article, which is courtesy of UFOCasebook.com. This occurred on February 22nd of 2011. United Kingdom policemen submitted sightings and photographs of a triangle UFO. Now, this editor's note says the submitter of the following report has stated that two of the photographs shown in this article are subject to the owner's copyright, and they can't be used for anything. I'm writing to you about this UFO sighting. Firstly, I would like to stress that both myself and the other person who witnessed the UFO would like to remain anonymous. It was on the morning of the 30th of October of 2010, which I think I've seen these before. I might have actually reported on this before, but I'm not too sure. They said that it was approximately 9:45 in the morning, and they were doing a routine patrol when they witnessed the UFO. They noticed a large black triangle-shaped UFO in the line of their vision. See, some of this is seemingly familiar, but I'm not sure. It doesn't seem all that familiar, but at the same time, it does. The UFO just seemed to materialize. One minute it was a normal, empty, clouded sky, then suddenly out of the blue, this huge thing just appeared. The guy said he slammed on his brakes and they both watched this huge triangle-shaped UFO performing mind-boggling maneuvers high up in the sky. The UFO was at some distance and some height, but still appeared to be a very large craft to the naked eye. They saw this and took pictures of it. I don't know. I mean, the graininess of the UFO seems to be the same as the graininess in the rest of the pictures, but at the same time, it seems to be a little too clear, and it seems to be a little too definite in the picture. And by definite, I mean it's seemingly too apparent. It's too clear. It's too there. And the guy in the picture sort of looks like he's looking at it, but He in the second picture, he doesn't really seem to be looking in the exact same direction as the UFO. And I wouldn't just be, I don't know, he seems a little too casual too. But you guys go take a look at this triangle-shaped UFO picture and let me know what you think, especially if I've reported on it before. I'm hoping I haven't, but either way, it's still an interesting observation, especially considering all the video and stuff that we've seen recently of triangle-shaped UFOs. This one happened in the daytime, so is that what is making me a little bit skeptical about it? I'm not really too sure. Let's go ahead and move on to the next article, which is courtesy of TheAdvocate.com, and that's number 2, TheAdvocate.com. And an LSU coastal scientist died of an unknown illness. The LSU scientist died of a sudden death, and his name was Gregory Stone. Stone, who was quoted extensively in many publications internationally after last year's BP oil leak, was the director of the renowned Wave Current Information System. The system is used by fishermen and scientists to monitor wind, waves, and currents off the Louisiana coast. Krista Elia, dean of the LSU School of the Coast and Environment, said Stone was a great researcher. Elia said Stone was admitted to intensive care last week from an unknown illness. The thought was that Stone was improving, but then the news came that he died. Stone, who was 54, was a native of Ireland, and he was first hired at LSU in 1990. Stone is survived by his wife, Anne, and a 16-year-old son. It doesn't say here anything else, but to me, I would think it would be a little bit more of an odd thing for him to have died from an unknown illness. Where did this thing affect him? How did it affect him? I just don't understand why it is that they're not going more into what happened to him. What illness was it? It doesn't say anything about it. Let's go into the little bit of a conspiracy theory here. He was reporting on BP's oil leak. Was this something to do with that? Was his unknown illness some kind of a way to get him off the case, get him to be quiet about what was going on? I just found it interesting that he died of an unknown illness. There's not a lot of unknown illnesses in this world anymore. So for a scientist to have died from it is just rather odd, especially one that was reporting on the BP oil leak. Now, this next article is just really, really strange. It's courtesy of NJ.com. Authorities are saying that stolen human remains from two Middlesex cemeteries could be rituals of a religious cult. One was a little boy who died at the age of 2 and his body was laid to rest. The other one was a man who is 70 years old. Both of their remains were stolen from separate cemeteries in recent months for use in what authorities say could be a religious cult. The Middlesex County's prosecutor's office asked for the public's help in finding those who were responsible. A spokesperson for the prosecutor, Bruce Kaplan, said the unidentified grave robbers may be involved in a non-traditional religious practice. The thefts under investigation now were discovered nearly 3 months apart at St. Mary's Cemetery in Perth Amboy and Most Holy Rosary Cemetery in the Fords section of Woodbridge. The first theft was discovered on November 28th when a visitor at St. Mary's noticed an open grave and contacted police. Then on February 15th, a passerby at Most Holy Rosary Cemetery noticed a granite mausoleum had been disturbed. The graves rest along a gentle hill that backs to the city's high school. The one grave of the 2-year-old boy who died more than 40 years ago had fresh dirt atop it, and it could not be determined if the grave was one that was desecrated. It's just really strange to hear about people digging. Now, there's always a lot of strange things to go along with religious cults and religious rituals out there. I'm just wondering if this has anything to do with maybe a satanic cult of some kind. Either way, it's just really strange to know that a human being would dig up another human being and use their body in some strange, obscure way. Now, maybe that's just me and my view on it. I don't really know, but I find it to be really gruesome and something that I don't necessarily know if I could do is dig up a human body and use it for some kind of weird research or weird religious ritual of some kind. Let's go ahead and move on to the next article, which is courtesy of thedailyrecord.co.uk. A Scottish mummy has been unearthed in China. A 4,000-year-old Chinese mummy has been claimed as Scottish because it has red hair and a kilt-like dress. The origins of the mummy, known as the Beauty of Jiao, have been the subject of much debate since she was found in the Xinjiang region of western China. Other mummified remains have been found in the region have been linked to the warriors of the Kaladinai tribe. The mummy is on show in Philadelphia in the U.S. as part of the Chinese Secrets of the Silk Road exhibition. One person who viewed the mummy believed it to be part of the earliest inhabitants of the Zhangjiang region. The hair was an orange tint, and she looks Celtic or Scottish. The clothes had patterns like Scottish kilts. The mummies linked to the Kaladinai have red-brown hair and a ginger beard and wore tartan leggings. The bodies are better preserved than Egyptian mummies, and similarities to traditional Bronze Age Celts are said to be uncanny. There's not much more there to it, but there is an interesting photograph for you to go and take a look at of the mummy. It doesn't show the kilt, but it does show the red hair. It does show how well preserved the mummy is, and you can definitely tell that it is female. What I found to be the strange part about it is that it is Scottish. Now, I'm Scottish too, so I kind of was automatically drawn to this. I'm not Scottish. I'm Scottish in heritage, I guess I should say. You can tell by my accent I'm not a Scot. Anyway, I thought it to be really interesting that someone of a Celtic or Scottish background would be found and mummified in China. I mean, I've seen a lot of mummies in my day, but I've never heard of one like this. If anybody else has an interest in it or knows more about this mummy, or if anybody in Philadelphia has actually seen this mummy, I would love to know what you saw and what your experience was around it. All right, well, let's go ahead and move on to the next article, which is courtesy of UFODigest.com. And a picture was taken on a flight from Portugal to the UK this past May. The person who took this photo said that despite the experience of taking this type of photo, he did not notice the dark spot in the upper left of the image along the curvature of the Earth when he took the photograph. At first glance, it appears to be a speck of something stuck to the window of the plane, but as you look closer, it becomes apparent that whatever there was not stuck to the plane. When you blow up the object, things seem to get interesting. The object does not appear to be any type of known craft or balloon. At the level of magnification that they have the picture at, you can begin to see that the object appears to be three-dimensional. When you look at the cloud tops and the engine cowling, it appears that the object was being lit by the same light source at the same angle as the engine and the clouds. This becomes clearer as the image is enlarged and enhanced to be able to get a better view of it. They enlarged the image 1700% of the original size. There you can see that the shadow of the object appears to have convex sides, and that the side of the object facing away from the viewer may be curved or have curved corners. And it does look a bit cigar-shaped, but flat on each side. It almost appears to have four different round places on the side of it. I'm not really sure exactly what to make of that. But the ends of it are rounded off, almost like the belt on a treadmill or a conveyor belt. It's rounded on the ends where it loops over and goes back around on the bottom or the top. It kind of looks something similar to that. It's anybody's guesses exactly what this is. It could be a well-executed hoax. I don't know. It's definitely not another plane, and it again is not an object that I've ever seen before. I want you guys to go take a look at it and let me know what you think about the UFO that was photographed from a plane going from Portugal to the UK. 1999. Article that I found that I wanted to take a look at, I found to be just rather strange because of the way the United States government works. And this one is courtesy of independent.co.uk, and apparently PSYOPs teams are being accused of targeting United States senators. The top United States commander in Afghanistan, General David Petraeus, has ordered an investigation into allegations that members of a psychological operations team, or PSYOPs, were ordered to target American senators and other dignitaries visiting the country to help to persuade them to provide new troops and money. Among politicians reportedly targeted by the team, whose ostensible mission is to manipulate the thought processes of the enemy, were former presidential candidate John McCain and fellow Senators Al Franken, Carl Levine, Joe Lieberman, and Jack Reed. The man in charge of PSYOPs, Lieutenant Colonel Michael Holmes, told a reporter for Rolling Stone magazine that he received orders to turn his focus on visiting politicians from Lieutenant General William Caldwell, one of the top commanders in the country. The fact that General Petraeus reacted so quickly reflects the potential gravity of the claim. Using PSYOPs on your own side is prohibited by Pentagon policy and is likely to be seen as against U.S. law. The article was penned by Michael Hastings, who last year wrote an article about a climate of disrespect among commanders towards President Barack Obama. That piece resulted in the firing of then-U.S. Commander General Stanley McChrystal. Lieutenant Colonel Holmes told the magazine that he resisted the order but was reprimanded for it. Among the allegations was a claim that his men were told to compile profiles of the politicians ahead of their arrival in the country to identify not just things such as their voting records on the war, but also their likes and dislikes and things that aroused their passions. My job in PSYOPs is to play with people's heads to get the enemy to behave the way we want them to behave, said Lieutenant Colonel Holmes. I'm prohibited from doing that on our own people. When you ask me to try to use these skills on senators and congressmen, you're crossing a line. Very interesting indeed that you have these top-ranking lieutenant colonels, generals, lieutenant generals, and all of these people saying that they actually do use PSYOPs to mess with people's heads. To have them react so quickly to something like this gives quite a bit of credibility and legitimacy to the psychological operations teams that they do have. I'm just wondering to what extent their capabilities and abilities allow them to mess with people's heads. Are they simply putting out flyers to mess with people's heads? Or are they actually going in and maybe remote viewing or using some kind of telepathy to mess with people's heads? Is it some kind of subliminal message that they're using? I don't know. It doesn't go on to say anything else about it. Anyway, I just thought it was really interesting. Let's go ahead and move on to the next article, which is courtesy of dailymail.co.uk. And it's just yet one more case of a person claiming to be magnetic. This one is a Serbian boy who's 7 years old and is attracting worldwide attention after his family claims that he is magnetic. To prove their claim, the family put the boy in front of a camera crew with a variety of objects stuck to his chest. The boy, called Bogdan, which I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, B-O-G-D-A-N, seemed unfazed by the attention, nor did he seem to mind having a variety of cutlery stuck to his body. The footage ended up on MSNBC, where reporter Al Stierit said that the boy did indeed have a unique ability. The footage shows Bogdan first with a variety of cutlery attached to him, then a TV remote control. They say the objects stay there until Bogdan removes them by hand. It's not just the metal that seems to be attracted to the youngster. China plates and bowls seem to adhere themselves to the boy's chest as well. Calypso Waxed out at ADHD commented on this whenever I posted it to Facebook because I just thought it was really interesting because there's been quite a few cases of this. It's, I think, a case of all about angle and maybe the stickiness of the boy's skin, but he pointed out that it was possibly just the boy has super, super smooth skin. And he is a younger kid. Now, what I want to see, now all the pictures you'll see is this boy is standing there with his stuff attached to his chest. Now, I can stick a spoon to my nose and make it stick there. What I want to see is this boy stand and bend over and, you know, spin around and jump up and down and hang him upside down and stuff like that to prove that it's actually magnetically stuck to his body. Will you ever see that? I don't know. I'm not really sure. I don't think you ever will. There is a video there that you can go and watch of the boy that you can see this stuff stuck to him. I'm a little bit skeptical of any of these claims, but I do find it to be very interesting. Is it a case of parents just wanting 15 minutes of fame for their son? Or is the kid truly magnetic? I don't know, but let's go ahead and take a little bit of a break here, you guys. When we get back, we're going to take a look at Neanderthals who used feathers for decoration, and the Nation of Islam has a convention, including the talk of UFOs. So when we come back, we'll take a look at all that and much more, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Darkside Sally and PodioBooks.com present Nephilim Push, a novel podcast by Brian Holtz. In the beginning, a dark hatred ruled the heavens. It was a rage that bred floods, giants, and hell itself. Its power yet lingers between us all, watching and waiting. Three distinct timelines document the beginnings of good and evil, a sadistic cult leader, and a man who unwittingly finds himself in the middle of a war for all existence. As the stories converge, discovery gives way to tribulation. Truth unfolds in unspeakable horror. Travel out of body and experience a nightmare of astral proportions. Welcome to Nephilim Push. Intended for mature listeners due to language and content. Subscribe for free at podiobooks.com. For more information, visit darksidesally.com.
The Wolf of Man is a new and free horror audiobook. The Romans had a saying, man is the wolf of man. After being bitten by a werewolf and killing his best friend, college student Caden Lawson flees, desperate to protect his girlfriend Tiffany. But leaving is the worst thing he could have done. The man hunting Caden feeds on death, creating zombie slaves from his victims, and he'll use Tiffany, alive or dead, to get to Caden.
New York City, 1943. Home to a million stories, but none like the story of Kissy Man. He was a decorated Nazi SS commando until they stationed him at Dachau, and he saw the truth of what he was fighting for. He went AWOL, fled to America, where he put his lethal skills to work as a hitman for hire. A hitman that might be more than just a little insane. When Kissy Man is hired by the handsome PI known only as the Gentleman, he'll be drawn into the dark side of a city that few see, and that even fewer live to see anything else. Kissy Man and the Gentleman is an 8-part noir novella by New York Times best-selling author Scott Sigler. To listen in to this lethal two-fisted action, go to patiobooks.com/kissyman.
All right, welcome back, everybody. The next thing I wanted to take a look at is courtesy of fizorg.com. Neanderthals used feathers as decoration. Researchers studying a large deposit of Neanderthal bones in Italy have discovered the remains of birds along with bones, and evidence that feathers were probably used for ornamentation. The findings add evidence to show now extinct Neanderthals could have been as cultured as our own ancestors. Paleoanthropologist Marco Parasani from the University of Ferrara in Italy and colleagues were studying Neanderthal remains in the Fiumana Cave near Verona in northern Italy when they discovered the bones of birds in layers that were on the surface around 44,000 years ago. The 660 bird bones, including wing bones, showing evidence of scraping and peeling and cutting by stone tools at the points which the large flight feathers would have been attached. The feathers would have been of no culinary value, and many of the bird species are poor food sources in any case. Feathered arrows have not yet been invented, and so the feathers would have had no practical value either, which suggests they were most likely removed for use as ornamentation or decoration. The researchers found the first bird bones in September 2009, and this spurred them to re-examine all the bones found in that layer. Among the 22 species of birds they found were bearded lammergeiers, red-footed falcons, Eurasian black vultures, golden eagles, common wood pigeons, and alpine choughs. The feather colors included black, blue-gray, gray, and orange slate gray. Dr. Parasani said bird feathers have been widely used by humans and have served a variety of purposes, including making ornamental and ceremonial objects and in games, but they have not previously been found associated with Neanderthals. Other researchers have found shells in association with Neanderthal bones and suggested that they might also have worn them as jewelry. Anyway, that's all there is to this article there. You can see more about the paper, which was published in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, or PNAS. If you want, there's a link there to it that you can go and take a look at. I just found it to be really interesting that we learn more and more every day about the origins of humans, the origins of Neanderthals, the origins of species on this planet. And that we as Homo sapiens aren't necessarily the only ones who would have used things like bird feathers and shells as jewelry and ornamentation or ceremonial decoration of some kind. I want to know if maybe eventually they're going to find out that Neanderthals had some kind of religious beliefs in any way, shape, or form. Anyway, I just thought it to be really interesting. Well, there for just a moment there, I think my mic stand was going down, so hopefully it wasn't too bad of a recording there. All right, well, let's go ahead and move on to the last article for this free version of the show. It's courtesy of WashingtonPost.com. And the Nation of Islam is having a convention that's going to include talk of UFOs. And the reason I'm putting this in here is not only for the UFO part, but it's for the fact that the Nation of Islam is talking about this. So I'm not going to say anything good or bad about the Nation of Islam. Let's not bring politics into this. The Nation of Islam, long known for its promotion of black nationalism and self-reliance to another core belief that perhaps isn't so well known, the existence of UFOs. When thousands of followers gather in suburban Chicago this weekend for the group's annual Savior's Day convention, one of the main events will include a panel of scientists discussing worldwide UFO sightings, which they claim are on the rise. The idea of seeking the divine in the skies is deeply rooted in the Chicago-based Nation of Islam, whose late leader, Elijah Muhammad, detailed in speeches and writings a massive hovering object loaded with weapons he called the Mother Plane. Although religion experts, Nation of Islam leaders, and believers offer very different interpretations of what exactly happens aboard this mother plane, its role, or how it fits into religious teachings, is still quite unknown. It's one of the group's more misunderstood and ridiculed beliefs, something organizers took into account when planning the convention. It's starting this past Friday and will end on Sunday. And they will have a keynote address from Louis Farrakhan. I thought it was really interesting and really wild that they're including this in their topic. I never knew it was something that they believed in. Nation of Islam leaders often quote biblical references to the prophet Ezekiel. Along with Elijah Muhammad's teachings, when it comes to the wheel, which is Ezekiel's wheel, in his book of articles on the subject, Muhammad described a planet-sized man-made vessel that orbits Earth, and is purported to be loaded with 1,500 planes, or wheels, words that have since been used interchangeably. Some experts have made comparisons to the biblical concept of rapture, which teaches believers will be taken up to heaven while everyone else will remain on earth for a period of torment, concluding with the end of time. Why the Nation of Islam is turning more attention to the wheel now isn't certain. One explanation could be an attempt to keep longtime Nation of Islam followers happy after recent years during which Farrakhan has haltingly tried to move the group towards more mainstream Islam and pushed for the inclusion of other groups like Latinos and immigrants. The history of the highly secretive group, which doesn't release membership or the number of mosques, have been marked by splinter groups and fracture. But Ismail Muhammad, who is widely considered a potential successor to Farrakhan, said reasons for the recent interest is simply that it's a core belief. So believing in UFOs and believing that there's some giant vessel that's planet-sized is orbiting the Earth, and that there's some correlation between what their beliefs are and Ezekiel's wheel is just rather strange. It's odd to me to know that they believe in things like this. I had no idea. I guess really what's so strange is that it's a new thing for me. I never really heard of this. So anyway, you guys, gals, I really hate to say that it has come to be the end of the show. I really hate to do it, but this is the end of the free show. And since it is, we're going to go ahead and bury the formalities and make sure they aren't going to rise from the dead until the next show. If you want to support this show as much as you can, you want more of the 13 Skulls, go sign up at premium.the13skulls.com. It's only $5 a month and you'll get 4 episodes a month. 2 extended versions of the regular free show, and 2 extended shows. That's only $5 a month for upwards of 8 hours of content. So go sign up if you want to support this show. If you have an experience or feedback to share, email me at the13skulls@gmail.com or info@the13skulls.com. Or if you'd rather call in and tell me your feedback, it's 206-338-2205 or 817-986-0019. Again, if I have them, I will post up quite a lot of UFO sightings from ufoclearinghouse.webs.com that I will link to in the show notes. If you like the music in the show, it's courtesy of the IOTA PromoNet at www.iotaalliance.com, or some of the music might be provided by Mevio's Music Alley. Check them out at music.mevio.com. The sound effects that have been, are being, and will be used in this show are courtesy of the Free Sound Project at www.freesound.org. If you have a podcast, radio show, book, or anything like that, and you want to swap promos or have yours played in the show, email me and let me know. If you want a button or a magnet, email me with your name and address to ship to, and I will get one out to you ASAP. I will post links to everything that you have heard about in the show notes. So go check them out at the13skulls.com or sign up for the premium version at premium.the13skulls.com. Well, you guys and gals who are listening to the free version of the show, I really hope that you have a great day, night, week, weekend, whatever it is that you're listening to the show, and I will talk to you guys again on another day. For the rest of you who are listening to the premium version of the show, stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute. We've got a lot of really good stuff. We're going to be taking a listen to SETI was interviewed on NPR about life on other planets, Bigfoot hair that's being analyzed, and if you have a death wish, there's a certain amount of cities that you should be visiting. All that and more coming up, so you guys stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute. For the rest of you, have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon. Your skin, they rip my weapon to the sky. And grab my dinner over to your life. Do not believe in your time. Reformation disguise. Wait, one of their parts. 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 Of a single race. Wait, one of the parts. The weapons of the pockets were blood diamonds. Wait, how did you see? We have the power to destroy the fictions. The power broken the fictions. What is generation? Sacred presence. They separate the workers from this problem. Measures and all access, social defiance. Don't we rely on a system that abuses us? They need us more than we need them. They need us more than we need them. They need us more than we need them. They need us more than we need them.